The time has arrived for the baptism discourse. We invite all baptism candidates who have not already done so to come to the designated seating area directly in front of the stage. This is an exciting and yet solemn occasion, especially for the candidates and their friends and families. Although the talk that we are about to hear is directed primarily to those who have presented themselves for water baptism, all in attendance will want to pay close attention to the admonition given by our brother Wayne Seelheimer from the Saratoga congregation in Corpus Christi. His theme is Dedication and Baptism Leads to Salvation.
Imagine what it was like for Noah and his family to enter the ark for the very last time before Jehovah closed the door. The Bible is really silent on some of the details, but what do you suppose it must have been like? Do you think that Noah might have had a checklist that he had been using up to that time to be sure that he did just like Jehovah told him to do? Be sure he gets all the animals there, the food, the water, the clothing that was going to be needed for the next period of time. Do you suppose he might have thought of how some may have laughed at him because they'd never seen a flood before? And so they may have thought that Noah and his family were very foolish. But when it really comes down to it, don't you know that Noah and his family had a really good feeling about their decision to obey Jehovah? Because over the next little period of time, it's that decision that they made to obey Jehovah and to remain inside that ark that led to their salvation. They actually survived a global destruction. Well, you have every reason to feel good about your decision to serve Jehovah too. Why would we say that? May I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And here Peter draws a parallel. He spoke of that family's salvation, and he drew a comparison between their experience and Christian baptism. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21, he says, "That which corresponds to this is also now saving you, namely baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the request made to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Notice he said that baptism is now saving you. It's an ongoing action. It's not the act of baptism itself, although baptism is important. You have to be baptized just as Noah had to go into the ark. But think about the comparison here. That ark was tangible evidence of Noah's faith. It was evidence that he had been obedient to Jehovah God, and that led to his salvation. And so baptism is really visible evidence for you that you are exercising faith in Jehovah's provisions for salvation. And notice Peter mentioned that was through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those that exercise faith then in that provision are saved from this wicked world. Through baptism, you enter into a relationship with Jehovah that can actually save you from what Acts 2:40 describes as this crooked generation. No longer need you be headed for destruction with the rest of this wicked world. Today, you're going to take a step that can lead to your eternal salvation. This is the most important day of your life. Make a record of this date. Record it in your copy of Organized to Do Jehovah's Will. Although baptism is essential for salvation, it's not in itself a guarantee, and that's important for you to remember. Peter even said, salvation is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, And you've learned from your study of the Bible already that you must have faith in that means of salvation that Jehovah God has provided. So we have to have faith that salvation is possible only because God's Son died. He died a sacrificial death and was resurrected. Please turn your Bibles to Luke 13:24. Remember that Peter told us that baptism is now saving us. There's more to it than just the one act. And in Luke 13:24, it tells us, exert yourselves vigorously to get in through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will seek to get in, but will not be able. Exerting yourself vigorously is going to be important in order for you to remain in a saved condition. Noah had to stay inside the ark to be saved, didn't he? And you have to stay in Jehovah's arrangement of things also. Now, you might recall our day's theme for the convention is deliver us from the wicked one and from every sort of lawlessness. That's really important to you because there's someone that does not want you to be successful in remaining in a saved condition. That's the wicked one. That's Satan, the devil himself. He'll do anything he can to keep you from remaining in a saved condition. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about seven things that will help you to remain in a saved condition. And each one of these, we're going to use the scripture to help you to remember about it. The very first thing is study God's Word regularly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 is an important scripture for you to remember. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, and as newborn infants form a longing for the unadulterated milk belonging to the Word, that through it you may grow to salvation. Form a longing for knowledge from God's Word. A firm grasp on the Holy Writings can make you, as 2 Timothy 3:15 says, wise for salvation. Something that's really important is that real hope doesn't come from wishes. It comes from knowledge. And hope is very important to us. You've probably already learned in your study of the Scriptures that hope has been likened to a helmet that protected a soldier's head back in ancient times. The helmet was important because it could ward off most blows. And even the blows that a soldier did receive could be prevented from being fatal if you had a helmet on. Well, the Bible tells us that our helmet is hope. It's our hope that we get from a study of God's Word that protects us from blows that might otherwise be fatal to our mental, our emotional, or our spiritual health. And as you study, visualize your hope. Apply your knowledge. Apply what you know of life in paradise. For example, let me get you right now. Can you just close your eyes and imagine what it would be like in the new system of things? You're working on your new house. You're nailing down that very last shingle. Think then, after you get that done, you look around and there's the results of all of your planning and your labor. The construction has been some happy sounds that you've enjoyed, but now things quiet down. You're in the latter part of the day when the breeze comes up and it begins to cool you from all of that hard work. You hear your family down below, the nice sounds of their laughter, of their talking, mixing in with the song of birds. See, now some people might tell you that's daydreaming. But it's not daydreaming. It's meditation on a prophecy that is sure of fulfillment. And the more that prospect is real to you, the stronger your hope that you're going to be there, and that'll protect you. The second aid that we want to talk about is based on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. So if you'll turn your Bibles there with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, pay constant attention to yourself and to your teaching. Stay by these things, For by doing this, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. The second thing that you want to do is help others to gain salvation. See how important it is, because you save not only yourself, but those that listen to you. Noah wasn't content to be saved alone. He was a preacher of righteousness. He tried to get others to join him in that ark. Others may have ridiculed him, but he didn't let that stop him. As far as we know, we don't have any record of any negative thinking on his part. And that's what we want to do too. We want to keep a hopeful view of people. In your ministry, you certainly probably will encounter apathy, just like Noah did. But don't let it cause you to have negative thinking. Negative thinking has been likened to rust on that helmet of hope, and we want to avoid it. Rather, cherish the ministry as your life's work. Look for ways that you can improve in the way that you teach people from God's Word. Look for ways to appeal to people and reach their hearts. Help others to gain salvation. Number three is maintain a habit of earnest, heartfelt prayer. And here we'd like to go to Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36 says, "Keep awake then, all the time making supplication, that you may succeed in escaping all these things that are destined to occur and in standing before the Son of Man." In the verses that precede this, you'll see that Jesus was warning about being distracted by the ordinary pursuits of life. And that's important for you, because each one of us are in danger of being distracted by these same things today. So he said, all the time make supplication, earnest entreaty to Jehovah God. Never let your prayers become mechanical or routine. You know, you've probably talked to people of other religions that have prayed prayers over and over and over in their life, and yet they really don't have any idea what they mean. Don't ever let your prayers become like that. Keep in mind what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to address the sovereign Lord Jehovah God in Jesus' name, and to do it in an intimate and an open way. The Watchtower of 1990 made a very interesting observation. It said, only baptized believers have an unrestricted privilege of approaching the King Eternal in prayer. You see what your baptism opens up to you? Unrestricted access to the supreme sovereign of the universe, Jehovah God. Isn't that a nice thing to think about? Don't ever let your prayers become routine. Point number four is to avoid overconfidence. And I'd like for you to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 for this one. Philippians 2:12 says, "Consequently, my beloved ones, in the way that you have always obeyed, not during my presence only, but now much more readily during my absence, keep working out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That doesn't sound like one that's overconfident, does it? One who's working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Well, why would we be talking about this? You know, everyone that has studied the Bible and dedicates their life to Jehovah God and gets baptized knows, for example, that God's Word condemns fornication and adultery. We may mean to live in harmony with God's requirements. And yet today, sexual immorality continues to be one of Satan's most effective snares. And why? Maybe part of the reason is overconfidence. See, we may, if we don't appreciate that danger, we may feel that we're so strong that we don't have to heed the counsel about bad associations. We may let ourselves get into a situation where there's an enticement to wrongdoing that just overwhelms our powers of reason. We need to remember that the Bible in very plain language warns us against being misled into thinking that we're so strong that bad associations won't corrupt us. And so things like watching television programs that feature the lives of immoral people, looking at magazines that stimulate immoral desires. See, if we're overconfident, we might fall victim to that. What we need to do is remember what Psalm 37, verse 11 tells us about who's going to inherit the earth, who's going to live there forever. It's the ones that are meek and teachable. And so we want to work on being sheep-like ones ourselves. In Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats, which ones was it that got eternal salvation? It was the sheep-like ones, wasn't it? So how do we display that we're sheep-like? Well, we're going to have problems from time to time. We may do things that require some correction from some of our brothers, some counsel. And when our brothers lovingly give that to us, we want to humbly accept it as sheep-like ones and not be overconfident about things. And when we get the warnings about our entertainment and our association, then we want to be sheep-like ones and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Number five is to be determined to endure despite obstacles and persecutions. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 is a background scripture for this. Let's read it together. Matthew 24:13. But he that has endured to the end is the one that will be saved. Now, what is it that might cause us not to endure to the end? Well, one of the things that affects a lot of people is fear of men. Humans may mock us. They may persecute us for doing what's right. And that puts pressure on us. But you know, there's another kind of pressure that we need, and that's a respectful fear of God. That'll put pressure on us to do what's right, since we don't want to displease Him. Many, including those of our younger ones, are greatly influenced by what their peers have to say about them. Young ones at school, for example, they may smoke, they may use bad language, they may boast of sexual experience, or they may even experiment with alcohol or drugs. Do you think that's because most young people want to do that? Well, it's hard to say today, but it sure is obvious that many of them do it because of what their peers might say, the pressure that's put upon them. Ridicule, mockery for young people can be just as hard to endure as physical persecution can be. And you adults who happen to be in the workplace, perhaps you're going to get pressure to do what's wrong. Your boss may want you to do something that's not right, inflate a bill to a customer, for example, or to lie to someone. You may even feel that if you don't obey, you might lose your job. So that pressure might influence you to do what is wrong. Remember, we need to endure that. We need to endure in doing what is right, including peer pressure, because it's essential for our salvation. Number six is remain alert to the fulfillment of the sign that we are in the last days. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13:11 says, "Do this too, because you people know the season, that it is already the hour for you to awake from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than at the time when we became believers." Yes, this calls for vigilance on our part. We know the signs, don't we? Just like the scripture says, we know we're well along into the last days. Matthew 26:41, we are advised to keep on the watch. In order to do that, you have to be realistic. You are going to have problems. There's no question about it. But what you really need to do is stay close to Jehovah God. As we get deeper into the last days, it seems that causes for discouragement increase, and none of us are immune to them. Some of the factors might include our health. or advancing age. And maybe we've had disappointments in life. Some of us have feelings of worthlessness or hurt feelings. And sometimes we experience persecution. And whatever the case, discouragement can sap our strength, can't it? But we need to remember, we need to buy out time for our spiritual obligations. This will help us. Studying the Bible, attending Christian meetings, sharing in the ministry. Remember, the tempter wants you to quit. So, we need to be aware of what Romans told us. We need to understand where we are in the stream of time and remember the urgency of the life-saving work that we're a part of. Number 7 is stay close to Jehovah's people. Please turn to Matthew 25, verses 34 and 40. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world." And verse 40, "And in reply, the king will say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" We need to realize and recognize who Jehovah's people are. Remember, they're a blessed people, as verse 34 said. Those on his right were a blessed people. And in verse 40, doing it to the least of Christ's brothers was important. Those that are responding today and actively supporting that remnant of Christ's brothers are really giving evidence right now that will enable them to be judged at Jesus, to be worthy of being on Jesus' right hand in the very near future when Jesus sits down on his throne to render that judgment. These are being and will continue to be a blessed people, just like it says. So if we look around at those that are with us, of Jehovah's people, try always to look for the good in your fellow Christians. It's easy to see the flaws, but look for the good in your fellow Christians. Remember, they're a blessed people, and what a privilege it is for us to be among them. Treat each one with respect. Treat each one with tender affection, recognizing that all of us share a hope in common. So now let's just remember the 7 aids that we have to remaining in a saved condition. Number 1 is study God's Word regularly. Number 2 is help others to gain salvation. Number 3, maintain a habit of earnest, heartfelt prayer. Number 4 is avoid overconfidence. Number 5, be determined to endure despite obstacles and persecution. Number 6, remain alert to the fulfillment of the sign that we are in the last days. And number 7, stay close to Jehovah's people. We want earnestly for your baptism to lead to eternal salvation. Today, you embark on the most important journey of your life. Obstacles will surely arise, but the blessings you won't be able to count. Whatever you face, always remember the thought from this scripture at Isaiah 41:13. Please turn there with me. Isaiah 41, verse 13. "For I, Jehovah your God, am grasping your right hand, the one saying to you, 'Do not be afraid, I myself will help you.'" I thought it was interesting if you look back up to verse 10 in response to this scripture too. Jehovah says, "I will really keep fast hold of you with my right hand of righteousness." Now the right hand is a hand of power for us, and Jehovah's promising you here in verse 13 that when you need help, he'll reach out with his hand of righteousness and he'll help you to do whatever needs to be done. Jehovah promises always to help you. You will never be alone. And remember this, Jehovah always keeps his promises. So stay close to him, and he'll be with you throughout eternity. The time has come now for you to make public declaration of your personal determination, so may I invite the candidates please to stand. Please answer the following two questions in a loud, clear voice. I'll read the question and call for your answer to make it easy. First, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah to do His will? And your answer?
Yes.
Do you understand that your dedication and baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Your answer?
Yes.
Your clear affirmative answers to these questions indicate that you are qualified for baptism as ordained ministers of Jehovah God. It would be appropriate for us to approach Jehovah at this time. Our loving Father in the heavens, Jehovah God, we do approach you in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to see these ones that are presenting themselves here for baptism today. It brings joy to our heart, and we know that it must please you greatly. They've worked hard to understand all of your righteous requirements, and they've made a dedication to you, telling you that they're willing to do all that you have required of them. So please bless them. Watch over them. We know that Satan is not happy about this. As happy as we are, we know that he feels just the opposite. And so each one of these dear ones will face problems just like the rest of us do as Satan tries very hard to turn them away from serving you, especially because they're new. And so we pray that all his efforts will come to nothing. We ask that you might watch over them, that they'll have your spirit to call back to mind the things that will help them to handle whatever kind of a situation that they may come up in contact with. Help them to do what's right. Help them to take advantage of the association within the organization that you've given us. How much we appreciate having loving congregations where we can associate together, where we can build each other up and remind each other of the requirements that lead to eternal life. So our hearts are full of appreciation that you have provided these ones for us today. It's a wonderful encouragement to us, and may we likewise be encouraging to them, knowing that you're always there for them, whatever the case may be, whatever help that they may need, we know you're willing to give it. As we are assembled here today, we're mindful of the fact that this is a season when many are symbolizing their dedication to you by water baptism. So for all of our brothers throughout the earth in a similar circumstance, we pray also and pray that you will bless them and that you'll watch over them. Please do forgive our mistakes. We know that it's only through the ransom of your Son, Christ Jesus, that we're able to even have a standing before you. And what a wonderful thing to be able to approach you in prayer and to tell you how much we look forward to serving you forever. So we express our appreciation for all these things and pray your blessing on the balance of our day. And we ask always for forgiveness where we fall short. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May we invite those in the audience to stand and join the candidates in singing song number 204 based on Isaiah 6:8. Here I am.